Moisey and Sophie. The first generation. Moisey was born in 1858 at Chateau Richer, Quebec. In 1877, when times were very hard, Moisey, at the age of 19, like many other Frenchmen, left to go west for better pastures. However, before leaving, Moisey promised his girlfriend, Sophie Pichette, that he would return and marry her. The journey west began using boat, then train as means of transportation, with Winnipeg being the end of the railroad line. The ride was over, and the journey continued on foot along Servery lines, with very little to eat along the way. On his journey westward, Moisey worked at sawmills and later on the railroad, which was being extended up to the Rockies and the Crow's Nest Pass. Many tales of hardship were told of that time. In time, Moisey earned enough money and kept his promise to Sophie. He returned to Chateau Richer, where they were married in January 1881, after which the bride and groom left Quebec for the West. They traveled as far as Winnipeg, where Moisey got work, and they settled for a while. The eldest children, Alma and Arthur, were born during this time. Moisey seemed to have his sights set on the Battleford area, so the family moved westward again. At the time of Moisey's arrival in Battleford, the 1885 rebellion was in progress. Moisey attempted to make entry into Fort Battleford, but was refused because he had a family. He was told to go to Moose Jaw. However, he chose to travel by wagon to the Rockies. Leonidas was born when they reached the mountains. When news reached Moisey that the rebellion was over, he moved his family back to Battleford. The following is a description of one of the frontier experiences the LaRue family encountered on their journey. Once, when the family was camped and settled for the night, their horses were stolen, leaving the family stranded. Moisey had to part with his gold watch in trade for an Indian pony. Next, he set out to look for his stolen draft horses. During his search, Moisey met a couple of freighters who told him to forget about his horses, because horse thieves operating across the U.S. border had probably stolen them. Moisey really had a problem, so he bartered for another pony and returned to his wagon, where the family was waiting. The LaRues then made the rest of the journey to Battleford. They reached their destination in 1886, the same year that Josephine was born. While Moisey was in Battleford, he worked as a bartender at the hotel. In later years, he operated a stopping place, complete with a license to make and sell beer. In 1887, Moisey obtained a homestead in the Jackfish area, and the family moved once more. In that year, they not only moved, but also had a new son, Paul. The land in the Jackfish Lake area in 1887 was a hunting and fishing paradise. Now that the rebellion was over, hard-working pioneers wasted no time in coming to the district. All the pioneers' needs were available with honest hard work. Moisey made his homestead on the northeast quarter of Section 22. Home was on a side hill on the north side of Jackfish Creek. One side of the farm bordered the Indian reservation, on which the natives had been placed after the rebellion had ended. The LaRues always got along well with the Indians and supplied them with one sheep and one steer during their yearly rain dance. More pioneers became neighbors to the west and north, such as the Neuil, Bellevance, Poitras, Landry, Duhaime, Cote, Bellanger, Knapp, Gang, Couture, Savard, and Bure families. Many settlers followed as time passed. Homes were built of logs, which were plastered with white mud clay. All building supplies were naturally found nearby. Some homes had wood floors. Others had only packed dirt as flooring. Furniture was scarce and often handmade. Many pioneers used sod to roof their homes. The pioneers raised sheep and cattle. A few acres of land were broken for grain crops and gardens. Haying was done by hand with scythes and forks. Later, modernization came with the use of mowers pulled by oxen. Moisey owned 7 such teams at one time. Gradually, more modernization occurred. Slow-moving oxen were replaced with horses. George was born in 1891, and the following year, Joseph was born. Education was becoming a need for the growing family. The area had no school, so Moisey again moved his family, this time to Delmas. Now the LaRue children could be educated at the convent, run by the Sisters of the Assumption. By 1894, the LaRue family had increased by three. The twins, Matilda and Marie-Louise, were born in 1893, and Rosanna was born in 1894. That year, St. Michael's School, named after one of the pioneers, Michael Cote, was built in the Jackfish area. The LaRue family returned to the area from Delmas. School was available at home now. In 1895, Mrs. Josephine Heon opened the doors of the school for the first time. The first teachers were called voluntary teachers, as they were not paid for their services. Many stayed for only one term. Miss Pinsonault and Mr. Perry followed Mrs. Heon. In the wintertime, the first pupil to arrive would be responsible for lighting the fire and hauling drinking water from the creek. In the summertime, nearly all came to school barefoot. The first one to come to school unshod in the spring was considered quite a hero by the other pupils, at least, if not by his mother, if she found out. It is interesting to note that 1 mile southwest and across the creek from the school, the Northwest Mounted Police established a post in 1894, which operated until 1909 when it was abandoned. Prior to this time, winter patrols occurred only a few times in the season. This building can be seen at the Western Development Museum today, where is preserved in their village. In 1896, Antoinette was born. However, in 1897, the school was closed due to a shortage of teachers, and Moisy moved his family once more to Delmas so the children could receive their schooling. Again in 1898, the family increased with Emily being the newest member. Moisy soon became Indian agent for the Thunderchild and Moosomin Reserves from 1901 to 1905. The last three children were born during their stay in Delmas, namely Wilfred, Pierre, and Antonio. Another move was coming, this time back to Jackfish for good. Teachers were now available for the school in the area. Miss Paquette, Mr. and Mrs. Breer, Tom Duhame, Miss Lena Arsenault, Mrs. Emilienne LaRue, Marguerite Poulain, and Miss Monette were over a period of years the teachers on staff. Moving back and forth must have been difficult for the family, particularly for Sophie. She must have been a courageous and a patient woman to be cooking and tending to her family's need in many less than inviting situations. For example, every time they crossed the North Saskatchewan River, they had to swim their horses and cattle across the river using a rowboat and raft to cross the river. With a buggy, wheels had to be removed to be transported separately. In all this activity, Sophie must have had many an anxious moment tending to the safety of her large family. Once the opposite shore of the river was reached and camp was made, Sophie no doubt made the evening meal, perhaps washed clothes, or even tended a sick child, not to mention doing battle with mosquitoes and black flies. The journey continued. The Pichette home, located a mile east of Moisy's homestead, was vacant upon their return, so Moisy and Sophie moved into it, and it has been known since as the Old Place. It consisted of a two-story house by a small creek, where the cattle wintered. There was also a room for the priest to say mass. This location also served as a post office and stopping place. Around 1910, another home was erected to the west of the Old Place. It was a log-framed two-story structure. The first floor had a large kitchen, dining room, and sitting room. The upstairs had six large bedrooms. One room was kept for sewing, knitting, and spinning wool. That was the room in which grandmother used to knit until she passed away in 1944. The basement had a dirt floor with a large furnace for central heating. Heat was provided by burning large blocks of wood, many of them. They had all their family with them in this house, 8 boys and 7 girls. All these children were born at home with the help of a midwife. Moisy and Sophie also raised 2 grandchildren, Alice and Alma, after their mother, Leonidas's first wife, died. In later years, lumber was hauled from North Battleford with horses. The house was then completed inside and out. This house felt the joy of many a celebration in the large dining room and sitting room. The yearly Everyone Welcome was one such occasion. New Year's Day was a feast to behold with Grandmother Sophie working extra hard to provide good food and tasty treats for young and old. the host always had on hand a 45-gallon closed wooden barrel full of beer. It would be an injustice not to provide the reader with Moisey and Sophie's famous homemade beer recipe. For 10 gallons, 10 pounds of barley, 8 pounds of brown sugar, 1 pound hops, 1 yeast cake. Method: roast barley in oven until brown, then boil barley with hops in a bag or loose in a container. When cooked, about 2 hours, strain into a closed barrel. Reserve 1/4 pound of sugar and add remaining to the barrel. Melt the reserved sugar and cook until deep brown, then add it to the liquid in the barrel. The brown sugar gives the beer color and taste. Add enough water to the barrel to make 10 gallons. The yeast: 1 yeast cake, 2 teaspoons sugar, 4 cups water, 2 cups flour asterisk. When the water in the barrel is lukewarm, add yeast mixture. Keep barrel in room temperature of about 65 degrees Fahrenheit until matured. It can be drank from the barrel or bottled. Life progressed in the area. A hotel was built 1/2 mile north of the school. It was used by teachers, freighters, and trappers. In 1900, Mr. Pomerleau had built a cheese factory and Hudson Bay store 1.5 miles northwest of the school. Pioneers transported milk in 10-gallon cans to be made into cheese. For the first few years, there was no church. On occasion, a missionary from Battleford came to say Mass, baptize babies, perform weddings, or conduct funerals at pioneer homes. In 1890 to 1892, a chapel was built by Father Leon Bondu on the west side of the creek, 2 miles northwest of the school. When Father Bondu left, he was replaced by Fathers Begonese and Pascal. In 1904, the church was moved to the Ness Place by the lake, Bruce Point. It was then called the Parish of Saint Leon. Life in the early days was much different than it is today. Cattle roamed at large, causing hot arguments as to who owned certain cattle. Moisey also raised sheep, at times up to 400 head. Once during a snowstorm, 40 head of sheep became lost. Joe and George, with supplies and horses, had orders to find them. In their search, they found that the sheep had been driven further away than had been expected during the storm. They continued to search, finding only skeletons, thus being forced to return home empty-handed. During the following autumn, 3 surviving sheep returned home. Hay was very necessary if livestock was to survive the harsh prairie winters. It was cut with a scythe and loaded by fork onto a hay rack. In later years, mowers pulled by oxen or horses did the cutting. It was raked and loaded by pitchfork, transported and unloaded by pitchfork into stacks. Some farmers started using ropes to unload and pull the hay onto stacks. Later, the bull rake was invented. It consisted of a 12-foot log with wooden teeth on one side and with a team at each end pulling it to pick up the hay. When it was full, it was hauled to the stacker to be pulled onto the stack. A man remained on top to form the stack. This method saved labor and was much faster. This type of stacking was again modernized by having wheels on the sweeps and cable on the stacker. An extra team was used to pull the load to the top of the stack. As the years went by, the children got married and moved away. Only Antoine, the youngest, remained at home. In 1921, Moisey bought a Chevy 4-door car. However, he was unable to drive, so Wilfred, one of his sons, did the driving for him. The next vehicle was a McLaughlin 4-door, which was replaced by another Chevy in 1926. By that time, Antoine was married, so his wife, Delima, who could drive, carried out the chauffeuring duties. At the age of 73, during the winter, Moisey developed stomach trouble and passed away on February 16, 1931. So it was that in the year 1931, the ranch was sold to the fourth son of the second generation, George. Sophie remained in the house with George and his family. She went into the hospital for the first time in her life the year before her death. She died March 13, 1944. George had 4 sons and a daughter. Marcel, was the oldest. At that time, purchase of a ranch was an expensive undertaking. There were 19 quarters of land, many cattle, and 100 horses. The horses were on open range, wild and unbroken. The range covered 10 miles, which gave us lots of riding before we could corral all the horses. Once they were corralled, they had to be lassoed, halter broke, harness broke, and some broke for riding. Among the lot of horses, we had registered Percheron stallions and mares. Every summer, one hired hand, and I had to bring two stallions as traveling studs. This went on for 6 days a week for a period of 2 months. We traveled as far as 15 miles from home. We stopped at farms to check the mares in order to have them bred. Our studs could breed 3 and sometimes 4 mares a day. Field work was done with 4 horses on a drill, 6 horses on a 2-furrow plow or disc. That meant we had about 16 horses for 2 drivers. To feed our animals, we used hay, which we pitched in the loft in winter, and fed a ration of oats at 5 a.m. After this was done, the horses were watered. Next, they harnessed and ready to work from 8 to 12 noon. At noon, the horses were fed and watered again. Work began at 1 p.m. and usually ended around 6 p.m. Tending horses was not the only chore. There were cows to milk and chickens and pigs to be fed. During the summer, in July, if it was dry before the changing of the moon, my father was glad, as it meant a few dry weeks. Our haying machinery was overhauled and ready to go. And go we did. We started with 4 mowers. Then we changed teams to rest them halfway through the day. After a few days, 8 more men began raking and stacking. Then harvest came. We used binders to cut the crop. Then we stooked it by hand to dry. We threshed our crops and the neighbors' crops. When this was done, we hauled the grain to the elevator using teams and 60 bushel wagons. The haul was 8 to 10 miles. When the snows came, we would use sleighs. Next, it took 6 men to bale the hay and 4 more men to haul it. We crossed the frozen lake for 10 miles to the railroad where we loaded the hay into boxcars. Every boxcar had to be loaded in 2 days or we were charged a standing fee. My mother would make a big pot of pork and beans and sandwiches for dinner. We would eat in the granary and rest men at the thresher. In 1937, I married and moved into my father's old house. In 1939, World War II broke out. My brothers, Henry and Gaston, enlisted in the army. We were fortunate that both brothers returned safely from the war. In May 1946, my father, George, was walking on King Street in North Battleford. Tragedy struck. At the age of 55, he suffered a stroke from which he never recovered. He was bedridden for the remaining 32 years of his life. My brother, Henri, and his wife looked after him for many years. Later, he lived in a nursing home until he passed away November 15, 1978, at the age of 87. The ranch was then rented for 3 years. After that time, Henri decided to buy it. So it was that Henri, of the third generation, bought the ranch in the year 1952. He also worked hard, long days, still using only horses for power. He had a family of 6 boys and 3 girls. With time, he got help from his boys, slowly modernizing his machinery while still managing to make ends meet. More land was added to the ranch until it became the 26-quarter ranch it is today. Up until this time, there had been no electricity on the farm, until in the year 1956, Henri got the hydro to install power. The telephone was installed around the year 1960. In 1972, he rented the ranch to 2 of his boys, Gilbert and George, being able to semi-retire. Gilbert has 3 girls. George has 2 boys and 1 girl. So it was that Gilbert and George, of the fourth generation, bought the ranch in the year 1981. They have also modernized their machinery to the extent that 2 men do all the work with no hired help. Being the new owners, they have agreed to supply and get 12 acres seeded in grass and ready to be used to celebrate in 1987, 100 years of LaRue ownership of the original property, making it a centennial celebration. For the descendants' information, as of today, July 10, 1986, all of Moisey's children have passed away, except one of the twin girls, Matilda, born in 1893. She now resides at Chilliwack in a nursing home, being 93 years old. Following is information as to where our ancestors are all resting in peace. Moisey, Sophie, Arthur, Leonidas, George, Emily, Marie, Louise, Joseph, and Pierre are all buried at the Jackfish Street, Lyon Cemetery. Josephine is at Sapperton, New Westminster. Rosanna and Antoinette at St. Paul, Alberta. Alma at Hudson Bay. Antoine at Delisle. Wilfred at Peace River, Alberta. And Paul at Edmonton, Alberta. This is the year 1986 and the end of what I was able to search and put into words of a 100-year progress, which finished an era, that which reflected the term, the grass and wood, having been replaced by the iron and wood, to what we have now. Now we have power, speed, and comfort with air-conditioned tractors, air travel, test tube babies, all governed by computers. But who cares? We now have power, speed, and comfort with air-conditioned tractors, air travel, test tube babies, all governed by computers, not knowing all of what the truth may be. I have told some of it as it was told to me, completing an ecology book of Moisey and Sophie's descendants, noting that the size of families have been getting smaller as time goes along, and finding a total number of living of 1,763, and a total number of deceased of 97.